I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Open Mic Friday, which is not Open Mic Friday because I am on Highway 270 in St. Louis, Missouri. There was a bad accident, and I'm unable to get in on time, but I hope to be there in a few minutes. In the meantime, we will not be taking calls until I arrive at the studio on this Friday, January the 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. September the 11th. I should know that because the news is all about the anniversary of 9/11. What I'm going to start with, I received an email about Kim Davis recently, and as you know, this is the lady who was put into jail because she refused to make out licenses for folks who wanted gay marriages. I've been quite supportive of her, but I want to read some questions that came in on an email that I think is quite important. I want to make really clear here. My thoughts on Kim Davis are not necessarily the official position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is my own personal opinion as a pastor, because the Synod simply hasn't taken an official stand on this. We, of course, are opposed to doing gay marriage, but whether a clerk can simply disregard the law, there may be pastors who would disagree with me that what she did was correct. So let's look at the questions. Was Kim Davis's approach respectful to the government, its laws, and her role as a public servant? Well, the way I would answer that is, we know from the Bible that the apostles refused to obey the rules of the government when they were told to stop preaching about Jesus Christ. They also went to jail. And then even in jail, they began singing hymns until people came to an understanding that, boy, Jesus is the way. Remember the Philippian jailer? He was one who came to faith because the apostles were breaking the law. So you can still be respectful to the government, but as the passage in Acts says, we obey God rather than man. So, for example, if I was told by the government that I had to officiate at a marriage for a gay couple, I would refuse to do so. And it might mean I would be put in jail. Or not sure that's going to be happening, because a religious organization is probably going to be looked on a little differently than a secular organization run by the government, such as somebody who gives out licenses. Question two, did she try one or more other approaches to achieve her goal between the time of the Supreme Court decision on June 26th and when she refused to issue the same-sex marriage licenses on September the 4th? Now, this is really important. That's an excellent question. There's actually a number of ways that this could have been resolved. What she was really opposed to was that her name would be on the issuing license. All that the governor could have done, he could have done an executive order. There are some states where it's not necessary to have anybody sign. In fact, I believe it's Alabama where you can actually get a marriage license through the internet as long as you do meet the requirements for a marriage license. Nobody signs it. Nobody's name is on it. It's just from the from the state. So that was one thing that could have been done. The governor refused to do it. Number two, the legislature could have met and indicated a different approach. Unfortunately, the governor refused to call the legislature into being, and therefore, it's not until January that the legislation is meeting in order to take care of that. So she did attempt, I believe, to try some other ways, but the government just refused to do those ways at this time. I'm quite confident things will change in order to protect the First Amendment rights of individuals. Were there other options for her rather than the option she chose and the option of resigning from her position? Yes, she could have resigned from her position, but remember, this was not an appointment. She had been elected by the people. So when you're elected by the people, it does take the legislature to do something about that. Yes, she could have resigned, but she felt so strongly about being elected as well as refusing to do this. Remember, when she ran for election, that law was not in place. So when she took her oath, she took her oath that the marriage would be between a man and a woman. Now the law has changed. And so one can give some credence to the fact that it's not that she's changed, but the law changed. Question four. Going forward, what God-pleasing options does Kim Davis have in obedience to both the fourth and the sixth commandments? Now, the fourth commandment is honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. The sixth commandment is on adultery, and I'm not really quite sure why the questioner is talking about the sixth commandment, except for this. When Satan began attacking her through other people, the way Satan loves to attack is to tell white lies. She has been married a number of times. She herself says she was playing in the devil's play yard. In other words, she recognized how truly sinful she once was. But what happened, I believe it was at her mother's funeral, that she heard the message of Jesus Christ in such a way that the Holy Spirit created faith in her, and she now is really trusting Jesus. You know, people who attack her and say she's a hypocrite, indicating that she had a number of marriages and divorces, this is like attacking Saul, who became Paul. After the Damascus Road experience, and Paul came to faith and was baptized, can you imagine that somebody would say, hey, we don't have to listen to Paul because look at, he was going around persecuting Christians. In fact, he was even responsible for the death of some of them because he put them in prison where some of them were put to death. We wouldn't say that, would we? Because that is Paul in his unconverted state. He's not being a hypocrite now in proclaiming Christ and him crucified, even though he was in a situation prior to that where he was doing those things. So I find it just really interesting that people would use her past life. In fact, do you want to make me look bad? If you attend a worship service that I am leading, guess what I say? I am a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's what I say. Is somebody going to say, oh, we can't listen to Pastor Baker because he even admitted he's a poor, miserable sinner? Well, there's a big difference between continuing to be a poor, miserable sinner apart from repentance and then repentance. And what is repentance? It's sorrow over sin, but also includes faith in Jesus Christ. That I find really quite interesting, that repentance, which we are doing, is something the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts. So I think it's just wrong for me to attack the lifestyle of an individual when they're making a point that I don't agree with. I need to be really careful about that because at times these people have, well, shall we say, repented of their sin, been converted, and they're in a whole different kind of a situation. And I think we need to recognize that. So I could be wrong in saying that she should have given out the marriage certificates to gays because that was what the government was instructing her to do. But no Christian should be forced to go against their conscience. Well, let me give you a simple example. If I went to a Muslim place and I said, I want to, let's say, have a cake, and on the top of the cake, I want you to put Allah is an idol. Do you think that that would be an appropriate thing to do? By the way, the noises you're hearing is I have arrived at the station. Just about will be on the air in a few minutes. And so when you stop your car, it makes all kinds of noise. Okay. The point I'm trying to make here is I would enforce a Muslim to do something contrary to their faith. Even though they may have a bakery, and then they refuse to do the bakery. Do we have an objection to that? No, we do not. And so therefore, I think that ought to be true for Christians. I mentioned this before. There are a number of Christians who work in hospitals where they have abortions. The law is very clear that if it goes against your Christian faith and your conscience to do an abortion, you cannot lose your job over it. It's not that there weren't other clerks around who were willing to give marriage licenses to gay people. That's absolutely true. But the gay people made a point that they wanted her name on there. So they were actually looking out for her. We find this is true with other clerks who have announced that they're not doing it, that people who want a gay marriage are going particularly to those clerks, trying to find out, okay, here's what we can do to make it really hard for them. So my point is a simple one. In my view, if I were her pastor, I wouldn't give her advice as to what to do. I was listening not long ago to the lawyer, and he was saying, I haven't told her what to do. She's working on her own conscience. What's coming up, of course, is Monday, where she's going to be at work. And when she's at work, guess what? She's going to have to make a decision again. It's going to be very interesting what decision she makes and what decision the judge makes. Now, it may sound like I'm kind of running out of breath because I'm rushing up the sidewalk. So we're going to have about a 30-second silence here. And don't turn off your radio because, in fact, Andy Bates, my good buddy, he's got the door open and everything. Hi. I'm saying hi to the set. I'm late. Yeah, she thinks. Okay, if you want to call on this, numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and I'm now going to the other mic.
All right. I'm on the other mic right now. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call. I have a pretty serious situation, and I'm really glad I was able to make it into the studio, because this situation involves prayer. It involves prayer from Concordia University in Irvine, California. What is going on? We have missionaries who are in the areas that are being attacked by ISIS. Dan and Marilyn Wilson. Here's what they write. ISIS has taken over the town they are in today. ISIS is systematically going house to house to all the Christians and asking the children to denounce Jesus. He said so far, not one child has. And so far, all have consequently been killed, but not the parents. The UN has withdrawn missionaries on their own. So let's have a little prayer for these missionaries and particularly for the Christians. Heavenly Father, we come to you We may be being persecuted in this country for our points of view, but as far as we know, no one is being put to death, as is happening where ISIS is. We pray for the Wilsons. We pray also for all those individuals who are having difficulty in keeping the faith. We particularly appreciate how no children has denounced Jesus as of yet. We know that they are afraid, but you tell us always to look to you, our Savior. And we ask therefore for courage to them so they may live out their vocation in such dire circumstances. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. So, by the way, I received this letter from Dr. Becky Peters, who's Professor of Education, Director of Lutheran Teaching Programs at Concordia University, Irvine. You may not know much about our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have two seminaries, but we also have a number of colleges, and Concordia Irvine is one of them. If you're all interested in maybe getting some courses from these colleges, in fact, some of them go to other cities. Seminary professors often go and give lectures for weekends or even longer. Don't hesitate even to call this station, and we'll be glad to put you in touch with those individuals who are able to give you insight as to how to set up for these various items. All right. So we talked about the email concerning the clerk. And once more, I want to reiterate, this is not the position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as to what she should do. We haven't met in convention to say that, but it is my personal opinion that I would support her in refusing to do this. And for one very simple reason. What is at stake could be the salvation of children. What? You know that what children are being told is that the homosexual lifestyle is an appropriate lifestyle. It's kind of like when the Supreme Court said abortion was okay, that people were told it's okay to put to death the baby in your womb. No, it's not. The church doesn't want to get involved in politics, but when the church gets the government involved in its business, then we will take a stand. We're a very pro-life organization, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In fact, one of my former field workers is in charge of Lutherans for Life at this time. Field worker was somebody assigned to my congregation when I was in St. Louis, James Lamb. He is excellent. A new man is taking over pretty soon, and I understand he will be also very good. And especially with these videos from Planned Parenthood, more and more people are beginning to understand and recognize what the real problem is. It's really a problem of taking people's lives when we don't have the right to do so. The other item I wanted to talk about today, and boy, I'm really happy that I was able to get in. The Roman Catholic Church is coming down on annulments in a way that's going to make it worse. I don't think they think it's going to be worse, because what they're trying to do is do annulments more quickly. And what do I mean by that? It can take 2 or 3 years for someone to get an annulment. They are not going to do it on the fast track, where some of the procedures aren't going to have to be followed anymore. For example, there's an automatic appeal. That isn't any longer going to occur. But what I found fascinating were the reasons for an annulment. Let me explain the difference between a divorce and an annulment. We Lutherans do not encourage divorce, but we do permit it for the reasons which God gives. Adultery is one of them, where the other partner could have the divorce, or simply being forsaken. For example, there was this one pastor who got in his mind that he had to go overseas to do missionary work, but he couldn't take his family. It was dangerous. So he just left his wife and children. And he said it was more important, rather than keep his marriage vows, to do missionary work. Well, See, that was somebody who had forsaken his family, and she could divorce him then. We don't believe in no-fault divorce. For example, I don't want to stay married to her because she doesn't know how to cook. No, that's not an appropriate reason. And so a judge may okay, according to the laws, no-fault divorce, but then take the individual, if they're members of the congregation, for discipline leading up to excommunication. In my previous congregation, there were two individuals we excommunicated for unbiblical divorces. Now, what's an annulment? Annulment is really quite different. An annulment is a recognition by the church that there really was no marriage. It was a sham, which means the children are not considered legitimate. They're illegitimate. I had a very strong Roman Catholic who became a Lutheran, married one of my members, and was told by the priests that his children would be illegitimate. Because remember, if you're a Roman Catholic, one of the sacraments is marriage. Well, what fascinated me was what makes those marriages inappropriate. I just can hardly believe it. Number one, if your partner doesn't want to have children, say your spouse, that becomes grounds for saying the marriage is null and void. Isn't that interesting? If the wife had an abortion, that becomes grounds for saying that the marriage is null and void, which means they never really were married. It's really quite interesting. Now, the one that really got me was if your partner is not a Christian. Let's say you're a Roman Catholic woman and you're married to an individual who's not Christian. That becomes grounds for the annulment. I could hardly believe it, because this is easier than no-fault divorce. There are a number of other instances where the annulment will take place, and because they don't recognize that it ever was a legitimate marriage. For example, if the one thing I gave is that they decide not to have children. You see, for Roman Catholics, it's not only important to have children, that's part of your marriage vows, to have children. Well, what happens to those who are unable to? Well, they would say, well, that's different. It's God doing that. But for you to make the decision, guess what? You can have an annulment. Now we know how annulments, statistically, 50% of annulments occur in the United States of America. Why does that occur? Because, very simply, they have the money in the United States of America. Because this can get really expensive. Now, I have to say there are some dioceses where poor people are, where they don't even charge them for an annulment. But what bugs me is it's very clear from the Bible that a marriage takes place between a man and a woman through the government, not through the church. In other words, no priest can officiate a marriage if he is not also a government official. Because in the United States of America, that's how it occurs. When I was in Novosibirsk, Siberia, one of the seminary students ended up getting married. We had to go to the government official, who was a woman. Of course, she never mentioned God or anything like that. Just asked, do you promise to stay with your wife, etc.? Do you promise to stay with your husband? And she declared them married. God recognizes those as valid marriages when they're done according to his word. But for the church to come in and say, no, that was an invalid marriage, and therefore you can have an annulment. You need to understand, when an annulment occurs, and let's say you did have children, guess what? Those children are illegitimate in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church. So I think this is even going to be worse for Roman Catholics. Even though it's a speed-up way, it's saying something that marriage is not. And unfortunately, we're going to need to be talking more about this. And guess what? We're at the end of our time. But I thank you for those listening to me as I was coming in. Please pray for those missionaries and their city, their little town, where ISIS is now attacking them. And we pray that they'll be able to find other help. I'm preaching at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm. That's on Highway 94. In fact, it's real easy to find. You get on Highway 94 right over the river. Just keep going north. And I'm there at 8 and 10:30, as well as a Bible study. I'm Tom Baker. Check me out at Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.